This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Almost 18% of Americans with a disability were employed last year, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. Still, the unemployment rate for people with disability is twice as high at 10.5% as those without a disability, 4.6%. In Bexar County, where almost 160,000 individuals live with a disability, only 66,000 were part of the workforce in 2014. Job opportunities for people with disabilities can be limited with low pay or part-time hours. These circumstances often undermine an individual's ability to contribute to the community or be self-sufficient. What opportunities exist locally, and how can employers be encouraged to consider more accessible or inclusive hiring practices? We're talking about a disability in the workplace. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. If you're an employer and you have some questions about this, you're considering this, but you have some hesitation, give us a call. Now would be a good time for you to ask those questions, 210-614-8980. Or if you're in the workplace and you've gone through this and you have a story to tell, we want to hear from you as well. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. With us this afternoon is Melanie Carlson. She is the Executive Director of Disability SA. Christy Anderson is a Goodwill employee living with cerebral palsy. Kevin Bergner is the CEO of Goodwill San Antonio. And Leah Davis is an attorney for Disability Rights Texas. And so, Melanie, since you're the Director of Disability SA, let me go to you first and talk to you about where are we in San Antonio? What is the status for hiring, with employment?
Well, we still need to do a lot of work here in San Antonio. There are a significant number of people who are looking for jobs who aren't able to find them, and several barriers to employment from a lack of awareness, a lack of education on hiring, a sense of fear maybe, and then just the employment opportunities that are available on the transportation routes that we have in San Antonio. And then again, if you're looking at it from a different angle, the way that transportation works in San Antonio to be able to get people to the jobs that are available. So we have a ways to go here.
So transportation is a big issue, but let's just focus on, if a person had the transportation thing solved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that transportation really the big problem, or is it really the trying to get your foot in the door and get that job?
Trying to get your foot in the door and get that job is a significant problem. There are fears to hiring people with disabilities. There's always a fear of the unknown. A lot of people don't understand what a reasonable accommodation is or what that means. A lot of people with disabilities are afraid to ask for reasonable accommodations. And there are always preconceived conceptions of what that might mean for your company or what a person might be capable of doing just from a visible impression.
Leah Davis, attorney for Disability Rights Texas, can you talk about what is it with, we have the American Disabilities Act, what does that mean for hiring?
The Disabilities Act provides that employers are not allowed to discriminate against people with disabilities in employment and also other areas in the public space. But since we're dealing with employment here, it requires that they get treated the same in recruitment, hiring, training, job assignments, promotion, pay, and benefits. It also requires that employers provide reasonable accommodations, which Melanie mentioned earlier, to employees with disabilities who require a reasonable accommodation to do the job. A reasonable accommodation is a change or adjustment to a job or work environment that allows that person to do the job as required by the employer.
When we say that the employer under the law, under the ADA, is required to, they're not allowed to discriminate on a person's disability. How do we police that? I mean, it seems like if that were actually being held true, that we wouldn't have this disparity in numbers.
That is true, yes. So First, the employer should be aware of their obligations under the law. Second, there are other avenues for employees, certainly the court system and the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that investigates cases of disability discrimination. But it also is helpful, of course, for employees to know what their rights are and to know the right ways in which to engage with their employers on these issues. So one of the major things that I think employees should know is what their rights are and how to best advocate for their rights. So we at Disability Rights Texas always, of course, encourage the employees to be aware of those so that when it comes time, when they do find a job or when they are trying to remain employed, that they know what their rights are.
So let's get into what are best practices if you happen to have a disability and you want to get a job and you're having trouble. And you go for a job interview and the person who is screening you is asks you, why are you in that wheelchair, or why are you, what is up with your hand or something like that? He's not supposed to ask you that. He or she's not supposed to ask you that, right, Leah?
That is correct. So employers during the pre-hiring process, during the job interview application, are not supposed to, by law, ask any questions that get at whether a person has a disability or not. So the examples that you gave about, you know, why are you in a wheelchair, is there an issue with your hand, those would be questions that would get at disability, and employers are prohibited from asking that. They're not supposed to. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean that they don't. We do see that, and that's one of the problems that we see with people that are trying to get jobs who have obvious disabilities. But employers are not supposed to ask those questions, and if they do, we can talk with employees about the best way to respond to those things, focusing on their abilities rather than the disability.
If you are trying to get that job, do you have a recommendation? Should people be more forthcoming? I ask you that, Melanie. Should people say, "Hey, obviously you can see I have a disability, and this is what's up with me, but I can do everything"? Or what do you do?
That is a great question, Leah. I'm going to toss it back over in your direction.
Sure. So I think it depends on what the employer says. So if there's a situation in which the employer is making asking questions, and like I said, maybe focusing on what your abilities are, your experience or your training, things that make you qualified to do that job. If the employer isn't asking those questions, you can still focus on your experience, your training, your ability to do the job without actually mentioning disability. So there still is room there to focus and highlight abilities rather than disability based on just your previous knowledge, your previous experience, and your qualifications to do that job. And that really is the same for anybody. If you're applying to a job, whether you have a disability or not, you want to focus on your qualifications, why you're interested in the job, what you can do. I do think that people with disabilities who have an obvious disability are going to have a harder time making that clear to the employer that they are able to do the job. And that is one of the challenges that people with disabilities face in the workplace who have, like I said, obvious disabilities.
And any strategies for doing that?
Well, they have to be given a chance to begin with. So like I said, in terms of being able to focus on qualifications or training, having had a previous job goes a long way in showing that you can do the job.
Yeah, but if you can never get that first job, got to have...
Exactly.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back more. We're going to hear from Christy Anderson, a Goodwill employee living with cerebral palsy, get her story. Also, Kevin Bergner is here. He's the CEO of Goodwill. He's got a lot to tell us as well as we talk about employment with the community with disabilities. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about job opportunities for people with disabilities, and those opportunities can be limited, but we can get employers to accept, to become open to more accessible, inclusive hiring practices. They may find that it's good for business and it's good for morale, it's good for the overall shop. If you got a question or some experience, a comment to make, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Diana has called in, and Diana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I have a daughter that is 18. She has cerebral palsy. She went through and had her pharmaceutical tech certification done. She took the test. She has gone to a couple of different interviews. When she hands the resume to them electronically, they call her for an interview, and she gets there. And we can't seem to get her for that first job that you talked about.
And so she has the interviews, but obviously, are you feeling that that's after they have that meeting that it's not really working out? Okay, we're losing you on the cell phone, Diana, but thank you for the call. And so let me go to our legal expert, disability rights Texas attorney Leah Davis. Anything to add to that reaction?
Yeah, this sort of thing is so upsetting to hear because we see it all the time that we know that when people apply to jobs, there's something about them that doesn't get them the job, and this sort of thing is difficult to prove. Nevertheless, the people that are applying to these jobs and the attorneys that are representing them know it's very evident the reason for the individual not being hired. And so this is the sort of thing that looking at legal options of filing a complaint with the EEOC or looking at a lawsuit, that is the remedy in terms of what the law says, that the remedies are filing with the EEOC or a lawsuit. Practically speaking, though, that can be very challenging. That's not something that's simple or quick, and these are individuals who just want to get a job. They're not interested in filing a lawsuit. That's not their goal. They want to be employed and be successful and have a job and feel good about their place in employment. But legally speaking, those are their rights. Those are their options for moving forward on the legal side of things.
But, you know, if you're looking for people to work for you and they walk in the door, they come in through the door, either way, however they do it, you know, they're through the door and you need people who have these abilities, you know, a pharmacist or a teacher or what have you, then why are you turning them away? It's because of what? You know, is it some sort of bias? Is it some sort of you have ignorance of what the law will be or what how this person would interact with the rest of the employees? We got to have open conversations in order to deal with this prejudice that possible employers will have. Let me ask Kevin Bergner, CEO of Goodwill San Antonio. Obviously, you don't have that bias, but any idea what could be going through an employer's mind when he says, well, can't hire her?
Yeah. Well, Dave, you're right. We're different in the sense that we exist. Our charter with the state of Texas says that part of our purpose is to help people have a level playing field. And so it's part of our DNA. I will tell you, I used to be a soldier, spent 31 years in the Army. And one of the reasons I stayed in the Army was because of a guy that I worked for who's a Vietnam vet. He lost his right leg just below the knee, and he lost two fingers on his right hand. And back in those days, in the early 80s, our military was not very well disposed towards people with disabilities. His leadership, his courage, his competence as a leader, a big part of why I stayed in the Army for 31 years. So I think business is no different. I think sometimes business fails to see the inspiration that people like Christy have in the workplace, and they fail to see the creativity that people who overcome some sort of challenge in their daily life.
And their grit?
And their grit, yeah, they're tough. It's courageous, strong commitment. And so we see that every day at Goodwill, and we're inspired by it, we're humbled by it. And I just wish more employers would have the opportunity to experience that, because it becomes sort of a self-answering question.
We got to figure out what's going on in the heads of these employers, why they think I can't hire this individual who's perfectly capable of doing the job, yet because of some physical issue that they think I have to take a pass.
Physical or emotional. We have employees at Goodwill who struggle with post-traumatic stress. And sometimes we have to make an accommodation. And so it's a willingness to make an accommodation. But you don't lower the standard. Christy will be the first to tell you, she works really hard to fulfill our quality standards. And it's just that balance. And it's not a challenging balance. It's more of a state of mind that realize what those people can do if you give them a chance.
If you're an employer, love to hear from you. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Why do you think we have this bias? And what do you think we can do to overcome this? Let me bring in Christy Anderson into the conversation. She's a Goodwill employee living with cerebral palsy. You've had cerebral palsy since your teen years.
Since birth.
Since birth.
I've had it. Yes, sir. At first I was a teacher, but it was hard to get in because I think people didn't think I could move around, you know.
So where were you a teacher at?
I was a teacher at preschool starting, but then I was an elementary teacher for about 3 years, and I was a high school teacher for about 14 or 15 years.
Okay, and you use a walker device?
Well, I didn't at first, but the last few years I have.
Okay, but at that time when you were in the classroom?
No, nothing.
Okay, and so did you have trouble getting that first job as a teacher? Now, was it public school or private school? How was that?
It was public school.
Okay, where? In local ISD somewhere?
Here in San Antonio.
Okay.
Yeah. At first it was kind of hard, but I think you have to really sell yourself, and you have to really tell them what your abilities are. You have to focus on your abilities because they obviously may focus on your disability. You know, for me it was a physical disability, so when I walk in the door, you just see it right away. So somehow you have to let them know that you are capable of doing the job, and that even if you have to explain some accommodation that you do yourself, like moving a chair around or, you know, moving a desk out further or pulling something closer to you because you can't reach it as well, then you have to go ahead and do that. At the beginning, when I started teaching, there weren't those kind of disabilities. I mean, there weren't those kind of accommodations coming along. In my place of business now, where I work now.
You work at Goodwill?
Yes, I do. I was told that I could ask for an accommodation for a parking place that was dedicated to me. And I'd never been able to do that before. I didn't even know that was possible until Goodwill came along and told me that. And the reason they did that was because they wanted to make sure, my boss specifically said that she wanted me to be able to be closer to the building so that I would not be tired when I got to work, or that I would not fall on the way into work. So that was really her impetus for saying that.
Okay, real quickly, because we got to go to pledge break, but we're going to talk more about this in the next half hour. If you got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Rose, we didn't get your call, but if you can hang on, we'll get you on in 5 minutes. We'll come back and we'll get you on the air. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about the disability community, that they need jobs, they want to work, you got to hire them. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about job opportunities for people with disabilities and why some employers are reluctant to include hiring folks with disabilities in their hiring practices. Why is that? We'd really love to be able to figure that out. If you've got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Rose is on the line. Rose, welcome back to The Source. You're on the air. I mean, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question has to do with whether the ADA allows potential employers to consider the financial impact of hiring someone with a disability. For example, since they're limited in what they can ask about the nature and the extent of the disability, and disabilities vary. I don't know if for them the concern is how much they'd have to invest in accommodating a potential employee. And so I don't know if the ADA speaks to that in any way.
All right, Rose, thank you for that great question. Leah Davis is an attorney for Disability Texas. And Leah?
Right. So the ADA does obligate an employer to provide reasonable accommodations unless those accommodations would result in undue burden on the employer. So an undue burden would take into account things like an extreme cost or difficulty in implementing the accommodation. The overwhelming number of accommodations are very low cost, and many of them are free to the employer, so they cost the employer nothing at all. It may just be a change in the workstation or, as Christy mentioned, a designated parking space closer to the door of the employer. So there is an account for the cost of accommodations in the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and employers don't have to provide an accommodation if it's considered an undue burden. That being said, most of the reasonable accommodations we see, or the overwhelming majority, don't result in that undue burden, and the employer is able to implement them without any cost or with a very little cost to the employer.
Are these accommodations, are they spelled out at the time of the hire and you live within those accommodations, or do they flow, Leah?
It depends. So a lot of times a disability itself can change. And so somebody who has a disability upon hiring may not need to even request a reasonable accommodation for several years. And we certainly see that with much frequency, that somebody's been in the job for 10 years and has had a disability for a long time and they never need an accommodation. But something about either their disability or the job changes after that period of time and they suddenly do have to ask for an accommodation. So it really just depends. There's no time that they must request it. There's no, like, if you don't ask for it now, then you never get it, because it could be a fluid process with both the disability and the job itself.
Christy Anderson, your Goodwill employee living with cerebral palsy. Tell me about the job you have now.
I work with government contracts. We work with medical records, and we process them and digitize them so that our veterans can get the benefits they need faster. Because we work with the Army and the Air Force, they're able to get their benefits faster that way.
And so
I'm actually a scanner, so I actually scan records into the database and make sure that they look well, they're properly positioned and all that, so that, you know, anybody,
that takes a human touch. You got to be able to eyeball these things and see. Yeah. If it's readable.
Exactly. And if something's not readable, then you have to manipulate it so that you can scan it so that it will be visible.
So what are your work expectations? What do people say that you got to be doing?
I have the same expectations anybody else does. We generally have a quota for how many scans you make or how many documents you prep for scanning. And so I have to meet those same expectations as any other employee would.
Kevin Bergner, you're the CEO of Goodwill San Antonio. Most people think I work for Goodwill. They think I'm working for the retail part of the job. But you have all these other things going on.
Yeah. Dave, one of the programs that Goodwill is able to deliver for San Antonio is this relationship that Christy talked about with government contracts. And so we have about 600 employees who are involved in document processing, similar to what Christy just described, mm-hmm. medical records for the Air Force, medical records for the Army, personnel records for the Air Force. We operate a call center for the Air Force Personnel Command. 75% of our employees engaged in those contract activities have a qualifying disability of some sort. So we keep those contracts with those federal agencies because of the quality that Christy and her teammates deliver every single day. They are terrific. They do a great job. So there's a model out there that says this works, and inclusion and putting people to work regardless of what limitation they may have is really a good thing in terms
of
productivity.
These are competitive contracts.
They are. That's
and
right.
They expect you to meet these levels.
That's right.
And if you don't, you don't get the contract.
You don't keep it. That's right. So, and that's probably the highest testimony to the value of Christy and her teammates is they are a great value proposition for the military services that we support and for Goodwill as an agency.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Kath is here. Hey, Kath, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Though it's admirable that Goodwill hires people with disabilities, I heard that they pay way below minimum wage. So what exactly do they pay? And their guest asked her, what does she get paid per hour?
Sure.
All right, Kath, thanks for the call.
So first of all, we do not pay sub-minimum wage. And I'll let Christy talk about her pay. So do you want me to talk about it, or do you want to talk about it?
You can.
Okay. Most of the contracts that we just described and talked about pay about $15.87. And that does not include health benefits. Health benefits are in addition to that. So it's actually a very sustainable living. And that's where we are in terms of pay at Goodwill.
For me, it was rather surprising because I thought when you come into a business like that and there are so many employees, you would think that the minimum they would offer would be much less than that. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised, personally.
Well, there is like the Texas state schools, or they used to call it state schools, but just there's piece work that's done at some of these places, and that's below minimum wage, but that's not this. That's something completely
different. Yeah, that's
not
a Goodwill agency. That's not this Goodwill agency.
Right.
So to your caller's question, the answer is actually we're minimum wage and above.
Melanie, you say, I understand that temp agencies are a good way for some people with disabilities to get into the workplace.
Temp agencies would be a great solution for a lot of individuals who have a disability that tend to create barriers for them at the interview process. So individuals who can't make eye contact or who don't communicate well, or who have a physical disability that sometimes gets in perceptionally in the way of what they are able to do, a temp agency could come in and do a lot of that testing and vetting of a person's ability to do particular jobs and get them through the door to place them. Because employers will find that once a person is in the position and doing the job, all of those irrational fears kind of disappear because they're really not that
But temp agencies are open to doing this hiring.
So we've spoken to a couple of temp agencies to try to get this to be part of their program and their repertoire. And what we find is that the temp agency we particularly spoke with was really had a fear of the liability of placing people with disabilities in their jobs, and they felt like there was an increased liability to take on clients with disabilities to place them in roles. And I don't know why they feel like that would be an increased liability.
Let me go to Leah Davis, Disability Rights Texas. Is there an increased liability?
No, I'm not sure what that concern is about an increased liability.
But I hear it all the time.
Yeah, both temp agencies and their and employers both have an obligation to comply with the ADA. So if the temp agency is the employer, then they are the entity that needs to comply with the ADA and potentially to the secondary employer where this person is being placed. But there's not an increased liability by the nature of being a temp agency. You are considered an employer, and as an employer, you can't discriminate against individuals on the basis of protected classes, which includes disability. But I'm not sure what the increased liability would be. I think that one way to avoid liability is to comply with the law, and that's a pretty straightforward thing that employers can do to avoid getting in situations in which they're concerned about liability.
Well, some employers fear that if they hire someone with a disability that they're going to be less productive, they're going to have more sick days and prone to more accidents on the job. And so they fear that this is going to open up them to lawsuits. Also, they fear that if they want to fire this person, that they're not capable of doing so because they're protected under the ADA.
Employers who see misconduct in their employees or see issues with job performance that are in their employers, regardless of whether they have a disability or not, the employer has the ability or the potential to terminate that person under the law if it's not related to the disability, if it's not being used as a pretext for firing somebody for some other reason. But employers who are having issues with employees still have the right in these types of situations to potentially, if they need to terminate someone having to do with misconduct or having to do with failure to perform, have those rights regardless of whether or not that person has a disability.
So that liability concern, that fear, is not grounded in reality. We'll talk more about that and about how these concerns of less productivity, more sick days, more accidents is actually just the opposite of that. When we come back from the break, 210-614-8980, The Source continues. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about job opportunities for folks with disabilities. They can do these jobs. They just need a chance. What's holding them back are employers who are unwilling to take them on. And there's no actual risk involved because we know that these are people, they want to work, they can work. And once they get the job, let me ask you, Christy Anderson, when you get the job, how do you feel about that job?
I feel like that job is precious because I have to help support my own family, and I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that job, so I'm going to do the best job that I can so that I can stay there.
And your loyalty.
Yeah, exactly. I've been at Goodwill for almost three and a half years now, and I want to do everything I can to just stay as long as I can.
Okay.
Because really, honestly, in the real world, it is hard for a person with a disability to get a job. I don't want to be one of those people again.
All righty. Let's get John on the air. He called in. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I love your show, and you've visited this topic several times, and it seems like you don't seem to quite get to the point, or at least my issues. I have physical and mental disabilities for the last 15 years. I have tried to get help from Goodwill, but they don't accept someone that's on disability. I've also gone to the DARS, or whatever it's called now, and they've helped at times, but they're very difficult. It takes months to get anything done. I want to be self-employed, and they say, well, no, you need to have a business plan, and I don't have one. And so at this point, I mean, I just need some help. I'd like to take my certification exams to be a computer technician. I already have a two-year degree, and there just isn't really an avenue to get help at this point.
All right, John, thank you for the call. So let me ask you, Kevin Bergner, if you, the CEO of Goodwill San Antonio, any thoughts?
Yeah, I would just ask John to re-engage with us. I would really welcome the chance to talk to him. So we have a number of different avenues that could be useful. One of them is we teach a certified information technology assistant course that results in the state certification. And whether you work for us or whether you work for somebody else, that's an avenue to be considered. And I don't know enough about his specific circumstance to address the history there, but I would be more than happy to take his call after the show to see what else we could do.
And Melanie, we've been talking a lot about physical disabilities, but there's so many other types. There's mental disabilities as well, intellectual disabilities. They also have trouble getting those jobs.
They do. And one of the things that came up in a conversation we did the other day was that the job fairs that are out there that target the population of individuals with disabilities, most of the jobs that are available or offered through those job fairs are low-income, janitorial, clerical positions. And we have a lot of people in our community who have degrees and certifications that are looking for employment. And the conversation I was in was really encouraging those job fairs to make sure that they have those elevated positions available with the HR team that is capable and understanding of interviewing and working with the people with all types of disabilities, whether it's intellectual, mental health, or physical, or sensory.
Okay. John, let's get to Clinton. Clinton is called in, and you're on the air. Clinton, go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I was listening to your show today, and it's a fantastic show, and I just want to bring up something along the same lines, but from a different aspect. I work here in San Antonio for a company called Tormax, and we manufacture ADA swing door operators and slide doors and things like that. And I predominantly work in the commercial sector, you know, new construction, things like that. And we have done a couple of projects for the Wounded Warrior Foundation, Center for the Intrepid, and a couple other places like that. And I was curious if there was a resource that I could have my company listed on to try to assist people individually, you know, because I know a lot of our products are a little bit more expensive, being that they're for the commercial sector. But, you know, if there's some sort of insurance assistance programs, I know they do things like that for scooters and things of that nature.
Okay, Clinton, let me see if I can get you an answer on that. So, Melanie, do we have some sort of clearinghouse for a list for folks like Clinton brings up?
Well, there's several resource directories that are available around town through various organizations. Disability SA is one of those. ARC of San Antonio has resources, and there's exceptional member family programs. So there's a number of websites that have resource directories, and if you're looking to make sure that you're connecting with people with disabilities in our community, it's best to visit those sites and make sure that you're listed as an organization.
And so, Leah Davis, keep talking about liability here. One last check-in with you. We're short on time, but I want to see just if you can give me a soundbite type answer of what people need to know about if you're going to hire an individual with a disability.
I think somebody already said this, but people with disabilities, they want to work. They're going to be in the job and feel loyalty to it. So if there is any concern about hiring that individual with a disability, there are many resources online. The EEOC's website has information. There's another website called the Job Accommodation Network that talks about job accommodations. There's lots of resources for employers to get information about hiring people with disabilities. And once they're in the job, like Christy mentioned earlier, they're going to do a good job and be very happy to be employed in that position.
Okay, we're going to have on our website, tpr.org, the contact information for Disability San Antonio and Goodwill, and also I'm sure you have information there about job fairs and networking abilities, opportunities that we have. So I want to thank all of our guests for talking with us today about job opportunities for people with disabilities, how we can try to lower those obstacles and get people with those jobs. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in. And now let's go back to the Texas Public Radio Pledge Drive.